This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Wednesday, March 16th, 2022. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio Network. Once again, on Wednesdays, we are encouraged to go to Joseph, to pray to St. Joseph and invoke his powerful intercession. Big news out of the Vatican yesterday, Pope Francis will consecrate Ukraine and Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary on March 25th on the Solemnity of the Annunciation. Monsignor James Shea, the president of the University of Mary, reacted to the news on the Drew Mariani Show.
And so I think what Pope Francis is doing here is reminding us that when we look out over the landscape of the world right now and we see things kind of falling apart and being blown to bits, when we experience the deep aggression, the violence of war, the helplessness of children's hospitals being bombed and all of these kinds of things, he's reminding us, which is what the church is, the Catholic Church should be reminding the world, that there's not just a physical battle happening that we can see, there's an invisible battle happening all the time as well. And that these visible signs of violence are signals of the epic battle of good and evil which is happening behind the scenes, and that there's something really afoot here that we should be alert to and that we need to entrust in a very intentional way into the hands of God and into the hands of Mary and the saints for their protection and for their work. And so to consecrate Russia and also Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary is very powerful. And of course, Mary has been, in her various apparitions all through the last centuries, has been pleading for repentance, yep, for the conversion of sinners, and for peace. And so these are things which we can plead to God for in communion with the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
That was Monsignor James Shea, the president of the University of Mary, with Drew yesterday afternoon. You can listen to the entire interview at relevantradio.com. Now, the Russian invasion of Ukraine continues this morning with day 21. Let's bring in our Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what is the latest this hour?
Interesting. 3 weeks on, the shelling continues, although ground forces seem to be slowed by the defense of the Ukraine folks. President Zelensky from Ukraine addressing American Congress this morning from Ukraine, wherever he's hiding out safely and leading the folks so bravely there. That is very interesting. Negotiations continue between Ukraine and Russia. Ukraine seeming to admit getting into NATO is probably something that won't happen, and that's one of the major Russian demands. That could be a little bit of a break there in negotiations. And people, again, trying to do what they can to help. A Czech crowdfunding campaign has raised $30 million for weapons for Ukraine. That's a crowdfunding campaign. So lots of creative ways, not the least of which is the Holy Father consecrating Ukraine and Russia, John.
It'll be a historic speech to the U.S. Congress. And the fact that President Zelensky is recognizing that not being a part of NATO it may be the answer, I think that might be a positive move.
That can help. I mean, that's a reality. It's something that NATO wasn't looking to have happen for a very long time into the future anyway. So that, you know, may or may not help. It is also interesting, too, that Russia is trying to, you know, fight back the way we are. They're putting sanctions on President Biden. Not that that's going to affect anything that he does in life. And also the fact that they're recruiting fighters, inviting folks from around the world to help on the Russian side. And they have got a handful from the Middle East that are joining up, I guess.
We continue to pray, especially for the 3 million-plus refugees during this humanitarian crisis. Glenn, if anything breaks, please check in.
Hey, sure thing, John.
Thanks so much. We begin every hour in prayer. Especially, we continue to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia, asking our Lord, through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Mother of God, the Theotokos, as our Ukrainian Catholic brothers and sisters call her. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If you haven't signed up for Father Rocky's new Lenten Lessons on the Mass, the super-duper edition, it's still not too late. You can still do it this morning at relevantradio.com/Lent. Today's lesson, Father Rocky will explain the meaning of the collect that we pray in Holy Mass. So get ready to learn the Mass, live the Mass, and love the Mass more than ever before. Sign up at relevantradio.com/Lent. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That promise of the Lord that he is our only strength is just as true today as it was in the days of Joshua. God has promised to be with us in every difficulty, in every tough time that we face, every problem that comes our way. The Lord Jesus Christ commands us to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for he is with us forever and ever until the end of the age. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, March Madness is upon us as the road to the Final Four has begun.
That's it. Loyola Chicago is going back to the NCAA tournament. Consecutive trips for the first time in program history since the early 60s.
No shot for Long Beach State, and Cal State Fullerton has won.
On the line to the NCAA tournament with the win. Gillespie again.
Many one shining moments amidst the buzzer beaters and the so-called Cinderella stories that attract the eyes of the sports greats nation that we are here in America during March Madness. Catholic Extension keeps its focus on the university students. For more than 50 plus years, Catholic Extension has invested in Catholic campus ministry at hundreds of universities, both big and small. Joining us for much more on the parallel between the schools competing in this year's March Madness and those for which Catholic Extension supports in campus ministries is Joe Boland, Vice President of Mission for Catholic Extension. Good morning, Joe. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always good to be with you.
Good morning, John. Thank you so much for having me.
Joe, how many of the universities that are involved in the annual March Madness this year? There's 68 schools in the tournament. How many of these schools offhand do you know that have been impacted by Catholic Extension? Do you have any idea?
We do. So we started doing our own bracket here at Catholic Extension to try to understand how many of these schools that are going to be, focused in this upcoming March Madness and this upcoming basketball tournament are actually part of the network of Catholic Extension in terms of our support of their university students. And to our surprise, about a third of the schools that made the tournament this year are actually schools that have been supported by Catholic Extension in terms of their university Catholic life. And so that kind of tracks with what we know in terms of our support, which, as you mentioned, goes back over 50 years. We've been investing in this area of the church's ministry. And hundreds and hundreds of universities, big and small across the years, have been supported by Catholic Extension. And one of the things that surprises people when we talk to them about our support of campus ministry, Catholic campus ministry, is the fact that we end up supporting Catholic campus ministry at some of the major universities in the United States. And, you know, places like Virginia Tech and Alabama and University of Tennessee and Boise State, all of those schools of which made the tournament this year and many more, you know, they actually need help from organizations like Catholic Extension, their dioceses do, to help support a vibrant experience of the Catholic faith for those university students. And so we're very, very proud to be associated with these schools, but most especially to know that that we're supporting a vibrant Catholic life for many of those university students who are studying at these state schools across the country.
Joe, that's got to be really exciting. So you guys are kind of keeping an eye on the certain schools, the ones that you support. Is Loyola Chicago or Gonzaga, because I know those are two prominent Catholic schools that are also in the tourney, are they involved?
So many of the Catholic schools are actually some of our university partners that provide theological programs or training programs that support dioceses where there are no Catholic universities. And so Loyola Chicago is a great example of a university that is providing programs. Just this past fall, we had about 50 sisters come to Chicago and attend a course at Loyola University where they learned about restorative justice programs and outreach to people in detention. And so some of these great Catholic universities, Notre Dame's another one where we have wonderful programs that have learned as Catholic institutions how to be resources to dioceses, many of those dioceses that we work with across the country that don't have Catholic universities and programs. And so that's a whole other level of schools that we get to root for.
That's great. That's great.
Because we work with them. Yes.
I love it. For the record, the Ramblers of Loyola Chicago are the 10th seed in the South Regional. So keep an eye on the Ramblers. They have pulled off some amazing wins in the last few years. So this is very exciting to see the schools that you've supported. Why has Catholic Extension invested so heavily in campus ministry over these last five-plus decades?
You know, simply put, our mission has been for the past 100 years to help build up the church in the United States. And quite frankly, if you want to build up the future of the church in America, you have to be investing in campus ministry, Catholic campus ministry. It's that simple. You know, the one thing that we hear over and over again from the supporters of Catholic Extension, and you hear this, and oftentimes it's coming from a place of pain, is that they're worried about and they're concerned about the future of the Catholic faith, about passing on the Catholic faith to the next generation, most especially our young people. And, you know, if you want to be able to do that, one of the best ways that you can help pass on the torch of faith is to do that by investing in Catholic campus ministry. And don't take my word for it. This has been researched, and the research has borne out these results over and over again. That you get engaged Catholics for life if you're able to connect with them while they're at university, while many of them are, you know, kind of coming of age. Young people are coming of age and discovering who they are and what they want to do in the world. When the Catholic Church is right there with them as part of that, phase of their life, they become more committed Catholics for the rest of their life. And so it's a great investment for us. We've actually invested over $100 million over the past decades that we've been involved in Catholic campus ministry. And it's something that we will continue to do because time and time again, it proves to us it is one of the greatest investments we can make to help shore up the Catholic faith in our own country.
Outstanding news. We're joined this morning by Joe Boland, Vice President of Mission for Catholic Extension. And Joe, not only have you guys done tremendous work with the campus ministry, but you're also supporting hundreds, thousands of seminarians and religious sisters. Can you talk about that connection between the university campus ministry and future vocations to religious and ordained life?
Yeah, that's an important piece of it, because not only are we creating through campus ministry future engaged Catholics, you know, future Catholic parents, but we're also creating a very direct pipeline into seminaries and in many respects to convents. There is a direct connection between what is happening in campus ministry and the cultivation of a new generation of vocations. And that is true in so many of the dioceses that we work with across the country. You know, I've been in this work for 14 years. I remember one of the first experiences I ever had of visiting a campus ministry was Central Arkansas, going to that university and visiting a young man who was involved there, you know, deeply in his campus ministry as a university student. I came back a couple of years later and I saw him on a seminarian poster that the diocese had in the Diocese of Little Rock, Arkansas. I came back another few years later and that young man was ordained. And that is truly what happens in many of our dioceses. Another great example of where that takes place is, you know, Florida State University, the Seminoles, has one of the largest pool of vocations coming out of that university, which we've been privileged to support for many, many years. It has resulted in one of the youngest average ages of clergy in any diocese in the country is in the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee, because of many of those young vocations coming out of universities like Florida State University. And again, the example is repeated in so many different places. It really and truly is, as I said, an incredible investment in the future of the Catholic Church. And so much is happening in these university campuses and in these Catholic centers that we've been privileged to support.
Catholic Extension has invested over $100 million, as you mentioned. Can you imagine, you know, Americans spend an estimated $10 billion in sports gambling during March Madness alone? Can you picture if you just a little tiny part of that, just 1% was invested in campus ministries, the incredible work that could be done?
It's unbelievable when you think about that number, because $10 billion, mostly throwaway money and disposable money, because $10 billion is just what we're spending on sports betting. You know, not even tickets to go see these games for March Madness. That's just $10 billion this month on this one tournament that Americans are spending. And could you envision that, yeah, just us coming up with just 1% of that, which would actually be $100 million, and what kind of investment that would create in the future of the Catholic Church if we were to invest that $100 million, 1% of total sports betting in our Catholic campus ministries. I tell you, it would be something that is would really set us on a strong footing in the Catholic Church here in the United States. And so it's a reminder to me, though, of that is possible. We can be doing this. We certainly should be doing this in investing in our you know, Catholic students at universities, because time and time again, they have proven to us that this is a worthy investment. This is something that they receive that gift of faith, and they go on and live it and do wonderful things in the world and go on to serve our church and to serve our country in many, many different ways as Catholic adults.
Well, there's no question Catholic Extension is doing fantastic work with the Catholic campus ministries. For much more, you can go to CatholicExtension.org. Joe, as always, I appreciate your insights and your perspective. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much, John.
Joe Boland, the Vice President of Mission at Catholic Extension. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, our Rome correspondent Ashley Narona will have the latest news on the Holy Father from the Vatican and his plans to consecrate Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Stay with us. There's much more to come after this short timeout. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Fratelli e sorelle, abbiamo appena pregato la Vergine Maria. Questa settimana la città che ne porta il nome, Mariupol,
Il Papa Francesco, that was Pope Francis at his Sunday Angelus after praying to the Virgin Mary, saying that the city that bears her name, Mariupol, has become a city martyred by the ruinous war that is devastating Ukraine. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. It's good to be with you this morning. Now it's time to bring Rome to home, as we do every Wednesday at this time, for the latest news from the Vatican. We go live this morning to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona. Ashley and her husband, John, founded the Truth and Beauty Project, providing Renaissance-style theological formation for our visitors to Rome. You can read more about them at johnandashley.org. Good morning, Ashley. Buongiorno. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always great to be with you from Roma.
Buongiorno, John. Really happy to be with you this morning on this Wednesday Lenten morning.
Absolutely. These are difficult times, but what was the main message of the Holy Father's Wednesday audience this morning?
Well, John, today's main message goes back to the cycle that he started back on the 23rd of February in discussing the importance of the elderly, really focusing on the value and meaning of old age and the vital role of how the elderly can hand on to new generations, sustaining values, as he called it. Now, he did that today by looking at the story of Noah. He looked at Noah as an example of righteousness for older people. And in particular, he said, Noah doesn't preach, Noah doesn't complain, he doesn't recriminate, but instead he takes care of the future of all generations, which is at that point, of course, in danger of being annihilated because it's a materialistic, self-centered, and spiritually empty throwaway culture, he said. The Pope said that the goods of life are consumed these days, that they are enjoyed, but it is without a concern for the spiritual quality of life. So he was really drawing a parallel to today. So he said that in these days, it's such an important time to look to the elderly, who, in a similar way to Noah, can warn all generations of the danger of a corrupt culture and remind people of that God-given call to be guardians and stewards of all of God's creation. And he said that God chooses old age for its ability to humanize the younger generations. He pointed out that the elderly have the power to love new generations by humanizing them, and that Noah's example in prayers should inspire the elderly to appreciate that charism and to build a new ark, as he called it, of welcome, care, and hope for the future of the world and for the dawn of the new creation. And John, today he went on to also ask for the prayers of Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph, the patron of the Universal Church, whose feast day we're preparing to celebrate. And of course, Saint Joseph is, as the patron of the Universal Church, he asked for his intercession for peace that, of course, this world is in need of so badly. In meeting with some school children and youth before the start of today's audience, Pope Francis asked all of young people to start praying, especially for their peers in Ukraine, to imagine. He said to these children from Milan, he said, you know, you have a future ahead of you, but imagine what it would be like to be running from bombs right now. And then, John, he finished the audience today with a prayer that was written by Archbishop Domenico Battaglia of Naples. And it's a wonderful prayer, a short prayer that we can all pray together right now, John.
Oh, absolutely.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the
Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us sinners. Lord Jesus, born under the bombs of Kyiv, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus, who died in his mother's arms in a bunker in Kharkiv, have mercy on us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't think it's an accident that the Holy Father brought up Noah and the connection to what's going on right now and the threats of possible nuclear war and the destruction that that would mean to our world. Holy Father is very much in tune to that reality.
Yes. In fact, he talked about the fact that nuclear war is on everyone's subconscious, is how he put it. And so this story, of course, coming from the sixth chapter of Genesis, becomes all the more poignant to us today as we realize that the only way that we authentically have to prepare is to prepare our souls.
Ashley, I'd love to know your reaction and what you've heard from other leaders of the big news from yesterday that Pope Francis is going to consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is big news from a spiritual perspective.
Yes. Yes, in fact, this has been very positively received by the media in Italy. Of course, Ukrainians, Latin Rite Catholic bishops made that request in a letter that was sent to Pope Francis earlier this month. And this will happen on the 25th of March, the Feast of the Annunciation, right there in St. Peter's Basilica at a special penance service at 5 p.m. And it's been said, of course, that, this is in response to the request of the Blessed Virgin in Fatima. And there's various points of view on whether the consecration has been fulfilled in the past. But either way, consecration, we understand, is always a positive thing. And of course, right now in this context of war, it is all the more necessary. And this grave context certainly warrants another consecration. And so the Vatican...
Interesting, Ashley, that he's consecrating Russia and Ukraine. If you consider back in 1917, there was not a border between those two countries, and so it was all one at the time. So it has a tremendous spiritual symbolism. I know Sister Lucia; she felt good that the consecration that was done was good. But hey, who says you can't consecrate more than once?
That's exactly right. And in fact, even during the pontificate of Pope St. John Paul II, he consecrated the world three times to the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. So this is something that has been done in the past, and we're of course grateful for this act being done again. It will be done simultaneously by the papal almoner in Fatima, that is Cardinal Konrad Kaczewski. He will be doing the same act of consecration there. And in the meantime, Ukrainian bishops have asked people all over the world to join the people of Ukraine for a special novena starting on the 17th of March, starting tomorrow, leading up to that consecration. So the whole world can be united in prayer for these 9 days. And then, of course, on the day of the Annunciation itself, on the day of this important act, John.
That is absolutely wonderful. And of course, we've been praying for days and days for an end to this war. So we're going to really take it to the next level and pray this novena, which actually, ironically, starts tomorrow on the Feast of St. Patrick. Ashley, what else is going on in Italy with regard to Ukraine?
Yes, John. Well, first of all, Italians have really been reaching out to refugees in all kinds of ways. It's said that there are about 45,000 Ukrainian refugees who have come into the country of Italy, mostly in Milan, Rome, Naples, and Bologna. Tragically, just a few days ago, a bus carrying 50 Ukrainian refugees overturned in northeastern Italy on a motorway. Several people have been injured. Sadly, one person died. And so that is being investigated right now as to the cause of that. Also, in the meantime, eyes are on some very important diplomatic talks, high-level talks that are going on right now between the U.S. and China that are happening right in Rome at the Hotel Cavalieri. And it's said that this is the discussion on, of course, how to handle this situation right now between Russia and the Ukraine. And our prime minister, Mario Draghi, and the U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan have met yesterday to really discuss this. They say that they are giving out a firm condemnation of the unjustified aggression by Russia and the need to continue to pursue a decided, united response towards Moscow. Now, as I mentioned, Jake Sullivan, the U.S. National Security Advisor, is also meeting with representatives of China. And of course, this comes shortly after China had denied reports that Russia asked China for military equipment in order to support its strikes. So it's been reported that this very high-stakes meeting in Rome will have far-reaching consequences, not only for this ongoing war in Ukraine, but also for China's role in the world and its relationship to the West, John.
We put it all in the Lord's hands and continue to pray. We got to continue to have hope and to continue to pray that this conflict, this war, is going to end soon. On another note, what is going on with today's celebration of the miracle of St. Philip Neri?
John, this is something very special, which happens on this day every year, where on the 16th, the owners of a beautiful palazzo, a beautiful home right in the center of Rome, right near Piazza Navona, they opened their doors. This palazzo is called Massimo alle Colonne, and they allow the public to come in just for one day to mark a miracle that involved St. Philip Neri and their ancestor, Prince Paolo Massimo. So what happened was that back on March 16th of 1583, St. Philip Neri was celebrating Mass at a nearby church. In the meantime, he had been giving spiritual direction to the young Prince Paolo, who was 14 years old. And Prince Paolo was a sickly young boy, and sadly, he had taken a turn for the worse. And when his family realized that, they sent word immediately to St. Philip Neri, except he was in the middle of celebrating the Holy Mass and, of course, could not come. So, when the Mass finished, he indeed went, but sadly, Prince Paolo had already passed. Mm-hmm. So the story goes that St. Philip Neri went to Prince Paolo's bedside and sprinkled holy water on his face and breathed upon his face, just like the prophet Elijah did. And then he called the prince's name loudly two times, and Prince Paolo Massimo returned to life. He gasped and began to breathe and his heart to beat once again.
Wow.
He and St. Philip Neri began to speak, and the little boy said that there was a sin on his soul that he had forgotten to confess. So right then and there, St. Philip Neri heard his confession and absolved the little boy of his sins. And in fact, Paolo's family were coming in and out of the room. They saw this conversation going on, which lasted for about 15 minutes. And during those minutes, Prince Paolo seemed to, again, to be in perfect health. And after that time, after that confession, St. Philip Neri asked the young boy if he wished to go to heaven now. And in fact, his mother and sister had died just a few years earlier. And the boy responded that indeed he was ready to go and see his mother and sister in heaven. St. Philip Neri then blessed him and specifically asked the young prince to pray for him when he was in heaven. And then the Prince Massimo died right there in St. Philip Neri's arms. So to commemorate this miracle, John, this family opens the doors of their private home and allows people to enter. And in that room, that was the young prince's bedroom, there are actually three altars. And in this small room, there are three masses that go on simultaneously throughout the entire day. Priests and bishops and monsignors come for this opportunity to celebrate Mass there. And it's such a wonderful pilgrimage. It's such a wonderful way to remember this great saint who we affectionately call the Apostle of Rome, John.
I love it. A great story. St. Philip Neri, pray for us. Ashley, I hope to be able to return to Roma one day and be able to walk in that Piazza Navona that you mentioned. It brings back so many great memories. And thanks, as always, for bringing Rome to home to our Relevant Radio family.
Well, it is such a pleasure, and many prayers for our Relevant Radio family, especially through the intercession of St. Philip Neri today.
Thanks so much. Ashley Narona, our Rome correspondent who joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. You can listen to her reports on the Relevant Radio app. Just go to Relevant in Rome. Coming up on Morning Air after a short break, infectious disease, Dr. Bob Tabali will join us to answer your questions on the new COVID-19 Deltacron variant. What is this? Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air after this.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep our stations running. Join in with hundreds of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you this morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, a new COVID-19 variant called Deltacron has been discovered in Europe and in the United States. It's a hybrid between the Delta and the Omicron variants of the coronavirus. What do we know? Joining us now is Dr. Bob Tabali for the latest on COVID and in this new variant. Dr. Tabali practices adult and pediatric infectious diseases in the northwest suburbs of Chicago with Germ Busters. He's an assistant clinical professor of medicine at the University of Illinois. Dr. Tabali is board certified in internal medicine and infectious diseases and a longtime regular contributor to the Drew Mariani Show in the afternoon. If you have a specific question for Dr. Tabali, we are taking your calls on Deltacron and COVID at 888-914-9149. Good morning, Dr. Tabali. Welcome to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining. It's great to be with you once again here in the morning.
Great to be with you, John, and good morning to all your listeners. Hopefully the last daylight savings time change of our lifetimes, hopefully.
Well, I tell you what, I know this reporter's body is still adjusting to it. It was a little tough the first day, but we're getting through it. Doctor, can you give us, first of all, an update on the general Omicron COVID variant? It seems like we're not talking that much about COVID these days because the numbers have been going down, down, down. Well, what do you know? It looks like right as we started with Dr. Tabali, we have lost him here temporarily, momentarily. So we're trying to get him back on the line. But yeah, there's a lot of talk about COVID. It finally looks like it's dying down. Doctor, you back with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Great. So I want to just kind of get a real brief overall update from you, the latest on Omicron and how it looks like things are finally dying down.
Well, these outbreaks of Omicron across the world are reaching into the areas of the world where it hasn't been, even, you know, the smaller island nations, Island of Man off the coast of Great Britain and New Zealand have experienced some of their very first outbreaks of COVID for the last 2 years. New Zealand really didn't have an outbreak. It's marching through China right now. People might worry, this is what's happening in China is that new variant, the Deltacron, but actually we believe it to be Omicron. There's not a lot of information that comes out from China. And China says they've got like 8,000 infections, and so they're locking down the whole country. But we would have to expect that it's far greater than that. This Omicron variant really doesn't have much of a selective advantage over what we had previously with Omicron. It has the spike, where that spike is what attaches to human cells. It has the spike of Omicron, of Omicron, and if you can think of it, the body or the rest of the genetic material of the Delta variant. And people who've had natural infection with Omicron are going to have really good immunity for at least the next 4 to 6 months. And people who've been vaccinated, while the vaccine at this time does not prevent people from getting infected per se, it does. The vaccine is very, very powerful in preventing people from experiencing serious illness and death. So what's happening in China is Omicron, and most of the world has either natural immunity or vaccine immunity. At least here in the United States, that's pretty clear right now. We would think that if this Deltacron variant, it's hard to keep them straight. If this Deltacron became a little more prevalent, we're only identifying two cases out of 30,000 swabs in San Diego County. That's how we know it's in the United States. It's probably here in a broader fashion, but I personally don't think it's really much to worry about right now because of the sea of humans in the United States with natural and vaccine immunity. I mean, we're really kind of looking at quite possibly that we have the herd immunity that we've been seeking for so long. That's not to say that another variant can't pop up sometime in the future that has a different array of attributes that could make it, infectious, but right now I don't think we need to worry much. People are worried about, do they need to get a fourth booster and so on. The boosters are really more focused on trying to prevent people from acquiring infection. You get a measles shot, you get a polio shot, vaccination, you expect not to get those illnesses, even if you're exposed to them. But right now, the way things are with the vaccine that was created for the initial variants of the COVID-19, it's not that effective against preventing infection, but it is highly effective, as I said before, against a serious infection and death, hospitalization and death. We have a couple of vaccines on the horizon. Novavax has been at the FDA seeking emergency use authorization for more than a month now. I keep checking the meetings that they have once a month for the FDA, and it's never on the schedule. And there's some people saying that maybe the FDA is slow walking the vaccine. But Novavax is a more traditional vaccine technology. It's not messenger RNA, but it's kind of protein-based, very similar to hepatitis B vaccine or the Shingrix Zoster vaccine that has been used so widely. It's highly effective and has really quite low side effects. Many people like myself would love to have that vaccine as an option for people who are hesitant to take the messenger RNA vaccines. And there's a lot of people that would probably get vaccinated with the Novavax if it was available. But if people wonder what they can do to help prevent them, getting infection or getting serious infection, if you are immunocompromised, if your child is immunocompromised for whatever reason, vaccination is a very good thing to do. If you choose not to be vaccinated, well, then taking vitamin D on a regular basis that we've talked about regularly, taking zinc on a regular basis, and if you do get infected, if you can take aspirin, to take aspirin for a couple of months after an infection.
Dr. Tabali, we've learned so much more about natural immunity than we did at the beginning. I still find it amazing that the CDC just has still not fully recognize the reality of natural immunity. What do we know now? What more do we know about natural immunity?
Well, I mean, natural immunity is what's brought the human population from time zero to about 100 years ago when we first started getting vaccines and antibiotics. So natural immunity is a very important aspect of, who we, each one of us are. And unfortunately, I can't tell you why the CDC doesn't incorporate that in its plans for how to defend against, this virus. It's hard for them to quantify it. They don't really understand does natural immunity end when people's antibody titers decrease over time, which they always do after someone gets a natural infection? And we have lots of evidence that that's not the case, that even if the antibody titers, it's measurable by getting a blood test, even if that drops over time, very much just like hepatitis B vaccination, that when the body's exposed to a similar agent or the SARS, or excuse me, the COVID vaccine again, that the body's immune system memory kind of leaps into action and makes a multiple array attack on the virus of the T cell arm and the B cell arm, the natural killer cells and the antibodies. You know, there's even evidence now. I read a report of that antibodies to COVID-19 were actually found in blood bank samples from people who donated blood back in 2019. And actually specific for COVID-19, not for any of the other four coronaviruses. So this virus may have been with us longer than we think.
Dr. Dabali, we have about a minute left. Quick thought on masks. There's still folks out there who are afraid to go outside without a mask. I see people in their cars all alone wearing their mask. And also, do you think it's time to drop the mask mandates, especially for the little kids?
Well, I think the bellwether is the fact that here in Chicago, they're dropping the mandatory mask mandate. It's going to be optional for people in schools. And despite the interest of the teachers' union, they're going to let the kids decide whether or not they want to take masks. I think it's time. The one thing that the masks have been very helpful with is preventing influenza. And we haven't really seen influenza be a factor the last 2 years. And for people to get infected with the coronavirus and influenza, it always had tragic outcomes. So I'm happy about that. But I think we can pretty much leave our masks behind us now.
I keep my mask in my pocket. It's great for cleaning off my glasses from time to time. Dr. Dabali, I so much appreciate your insights and for you to be with us here in the morning. Thanks so much.
It's always a pleasure. God bless you and your listeners.
Many blessings to you. Dr. Bob Dabali, physician in northwest suburbs of Chicago with Germ Busters. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Enemies No More. Eric Remarque's book, All Quiet on the Western Front, tells of a remarkable encounter between two enemy soldiers during the First World War. During battle, a German soldier took shelter in a crater made by artillery shells. Looking around him, he saw a man wounded, an enemy soldier. He was dying. The German soldier's heart went out to him. He gave him water from his canteen and listened as the dying man spoke of his wife and children. The German helped him find his wallet and take out pictures of his family to look at one last time. In that encounter, these two men ceased to be enemies. The German had seen the wounded soldier in a new way, not as an enemy combatant, but as a father, a husband, someone who loves and is loved, someone just like him. This is always the path of peace and reconciliation, learning to truly see the other and in them recognizing someone just like yourself. Luke 6:27-28 says, "But to you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you."
And that's what it's all about. Thanks so much, Glenn. As always, coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Father Marcel Tyone, our spiritual director, will be with us to talk about experiencing dryness in our prayer. What can we learn from our Lord Jesus in the desert? And career coach Bruce Lockenauer is going to also be with us to continue his series on landing your dream job, with the focus today on conducting thorough due diligence. Stay with us. Do not change that dial. There's much more to come here on Morning Air next hour on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app.